going to see something here, and I'm just going to put it in the summary. A husband and wife fly south to Florida for Christmas vacation. The husband's restlessness with his life forces him to ponder God, Christ's birth, and the decisions he's made in life. Ultimately, he and his wife find profound parallels between the vastness of the ocean and the nature of God and the person of Christ. Jeff, where are you?
What? Oh, sorry.
I was starting to get concerned. Finally, it occurred to me that you might have already come out to the beach.
Yeah, sorry. I just wanted to spend some time out here. I just wanted to enjoy it this one time.
But I need you to carry my suitcase up the stairs so I can begin unpacking. You know, I always like to get my things organized right after we arrive someplace new.
Yeah, no problem. I'll get there in a minute.
Thanks. What are you doing out here?
Not much. I just don't feel like coming in straight away. I want to remember the feel of the ocean in my face. It's been a year since we've been here, you know?
Yeah, I know, but the weather is so cool this year. I don't ever remember a Christmas in Florida as chilly as this one.
It could still warm up for the 25th. Yeah, but you know, it's always been the ocean itself which brought me down here. I just never seem to get enough of it.
Yeah, it is beautiful. Oh, I brought this glass of water for you. I was thirsty when I got off the plane, and I didn't have a chance to get a drink. So until now, I thought you might be thirsty.
Yeah, thanks, honey.
I'll be inside.
But you know, Mindy, I've been thinking.
What?
I've been thinking, you know, about the ocean. Well, you know, I've been thinking about, you know, I've been thinking about God.
What do you mean?
It's like I've been thinking about how the ocean is like our relationship with God.
Yes, so peaceful, so restful.
No, that's not what I mean. And the ocean's not so peaceful. I mean, for all we know, there could be a huge storm raging off the coast of Greenland right now.
Jeff, what are you talking about?
It's hard to explain, but I'm thinking a lot about it. It's like we come here to Florida, to the ocean, to spend our Christmas here each year. We return each year saying things like, wasn't it great to be at the ocean again? And yet, in some ways, we've never experienced it.
Yeah?
For instance, I mean, some years you don't even go into the water. How can we say we're experiencing it?
What are you getting at?
Wait a minute, that was a bad example. Let me try to explain what I mean. We're standing at the beach, right? We're looking at the ocean and feeling its breeze, right? Yet the ocean is so much more, unimaginably vaster than we could ever imagine as we stand here.
Okay.
Imagine that right now, at this instant, massive icebergs are crashing into the sea off Antarctica. And imagine that right now, the monsoons are pounding the coast of Bangladesh, flooding the land for miles inland. And think also how the ocean harbors creatures so massive and exotic.
Yeah, I get it. It's like we enjoy the view from our deck, and we enjoy taking walks up and down this stretch of the beach, and what we're experiencing is not like even like 0.1% of what the ocean is.
That's it, and that's the problem we have with God.
Now what are you talking about?
Don't you see? It's the same thing. We get out to church once in a while, but never plan on committing to anything. We try to avoid actually getting to know anyone, least of all God. And of course, the only time we bother to pray is when we're almost in a car accident. Don't you see? It's all the same thing. We pretend we're giving God a place in our lives, but really, we haven't even bothered to put our foot in the water, let alone take a swim or God forbid, try and paddle across the ocean.
Well, Johanna told me that my women's Bible study would be praying for us while we were here on the holidays.
I mean, can you imagine talking to someone who has explored the fjords of Scandinavia? I mean, spiritually speaking.
That makes me think of Jack, you know, the guy who started the church sports program for all those handicapped kids downtown?
What about meeting, spiritually speaking, someone who crossed the Atlantic solo in a sailboat?
Well, maybe that's someone like Andrew, you know, AJ's friend who was doing Christian aid work in Macedonia when the war broke out in Kosovo.
Or could you imagine standing on a spiritual beach, trying to weather a spiritual hurricane with winds of 150 kilometer miles per hour, the waves 10 meters high.
Yeah, that sounds like Elijah.
And for year after year, somehow we're just content with our little stretch of spiritual beach, smelling the salty breeze that blows off the ocean?
Well,
year after year, we come down here for the Christmas holidays. Each year I look back at the previous 12 months. Each year seems harder than the one before it. The year ahead always looks so bright. Yet each Christmas I feel so tired.
Yeah, but Jeff, dear, that's why we come down here each year. So you can rest and enjoy the ocean. You've always found it so therapeutic.
Sometimes I wonder why we come down here. Sometimes I wonder if it's not just so we can say we went to Florida for the holidays, showing we have the means to do so, hoping others will be jealous of us for doing it.
Jeff!
No, I mean it, Mindy. Sometimes I feel the only thing that makes me happy is knowing there are some people who know we might be envious of us.
Jeff, that's ridiculous.
No, really, I mean, why would we travel down to South Florida, a capital of consumerism, to celebrate one of the most important holidays of our religion?
But Jeff, this is what you always said that you wanted. I had no idea.
If it weren't hard enough finding something real through all the holiday specials and jingle bells back home, how am I going to find meaning here with red ribbons tied around palm trees and Silent Night set to a Latin beat? And then finally, you know, if we do manage to cut through it all, to shut it all out. All you're left with is a quaint little story about a baby in a manger.
Yeah, but my friend Pam from church, she read an article about the birth of Jesus. And she said that the stable is a very unsanitary place to have a baby. You know, she said it's probably very smelly, and they're very lucky that no one died from infection.
Okay. So it was a quaint little story about a baby in a dirty barn overrun with smelly farm animals. What am I supposed to understand? How is this supposed to give me some hope for the future?
But Jeff, the Bible says that he's the Son of God.
Yeah. I was reminded with that somber rendition of Silent Night on the airplane intercom as we were wrestling with our baggage out of the overhead compartments. Silent Night, Holy Night, Son of God loves pure light. I've sung and listened to Silent Night for 44 years, and you know, it means about as much to me as it did when I was 8 years old. I mean, maybe I'm just stuck on the quaintness. And for me, quaintness borders on the irrelevant.
But Johanna told us that Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. I'm not sure I really understand that, but,
what?
You know.
100% God? No, wasn't he like sort of specially endowed from God or something? You know, like special wisdom, miraculous powers and stuff?
No. Johanna showed it to us in the Bible. It was like just 2 weeks ago. There's even a verse in the Bible that says that I and my Father are one.
I always thought like God just sort of passed the baton to Jesus for a little while.
Well, Johanna says...
Johanna! Would you stop telling me what Johanna said? If I wanted Johanna on my Christmas vacation, I would have invited her down here.
Well, I think... I believe... that Jesus is like everything that God is, but collapsed or condensed into a real living person.
I'm not sure why I follow. What are you getting at?
Well, it's like if you take all of God's power, like he created all the world and stuff, and all of God's creativity, you know, like she made us all different and special, and all of God's love, like caring about each one of us.
And all of God's wisdom and all of God's majesty.
That's right. If you take all of that stuff, which is, totally God,
okay,
and boiled it down so that we really consecrate and then consecrated, and then put in the real living person, well, then you'd have Jesus.
You mean like, well, maybe it would be like taking the whole ocean and putting all its essence inside this glass of water.
You've lost me again.
Now, remember how we were talking about the ocean? How it's so much more than our little stretch of beach and our peaceful view? Can you imagine, for instance, taking the drive and the restlessness of the ocean's tides, capturing it all in this little glass of water? And can you imagine taking the thousands and thousands of miles of shoreline and the waves smashing against them and capturing that fury and power and projecting it all into this glass of water? Can you imagine the dark depths of the ocean, thousands of meters upon the surface, where sunlight never hopes to penetrate, capturing the weight and the density and unfathomable depth and sticking it into this little glass?
And what about just how big the ocean is? I mean, doesn't it take days and days to just cross it, and even the fastest of boats?
That's right. You've got the width and the length of the ocean from here to the coast of Africa, from Antarctica to the Arctic Sea. You'd have to somehow capture the essence of that expanse and stick it in this glass.
And don't forget the beautiful turquoise water around the Caribbean islands.
That's right. You'd have to transpose the beauty and serenity of the entire ocean into this little glass.
You can't forget the sunrise over the ocean.
Or the massive, inexorable ocean currents.
There's always the coral reefs, you know, teeming with life and color and diversity.
Yes, all of it. The timelessness, the majesty, the richness, the vastness, it all would be there. That would be Jesus, God himself incarnate as man. I wonder what it was like for Jesus. I mean, God to project it into a life of a mere man?
Well, Johanna said that God becoming man in Jesus would be more of come down like you and me being put in the body of an earthworm.
Mindy, where did you get this water?
It's straight from the water cooler. I had a glass of it myself before I came out. What's wrong, honey?
It's awful! It's gone stale. So maybe the people that were here last left it out for a few weeks, and it's been sitting here all this time.
I'm sorry, honey. My glass tasted fine to me. It's that sparkling, clear spring water stuff that we get down here.
Well, I don't know what it is. All I know is that this water is totally unpalatable. Did you see anything else in the house to drink?
I think there's a few cans of pop when I looked in the fridge. Do you want me to try and find you something?
Well, I don't know what it is. All I know is that this water is awful. And, yeah, I think I'm going to go inside and look myself here. Diet Coke sounds really good.
Don't forget my suitcase.